I believe this is going to be God's word for us this year. Never to stop praying. Never to stop believing. No matter how hard it is, no matter what it takes, by God's grace, we are going to possess our possession in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we say thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the time of fellowship with you. Your word tells us that we should not forsake the assembling together of one another. And Lord, in obedience to your word, do we gather today. And Father, we pray that you will be the one that will speak to us, that your name will be glorified in all that we do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning, by God's grace, I just want us to do like a Bible study. Just looking at the things we have been teaching ourselves over the... Sister Bola, please settle down. Teaching ourselves over the last few weeks. And I would want us together as a congregation to look at the scriptures, to be able to gain insight from what we have been looking at. Today, Brother Kunle read about the story of Achan. Achan, as what he did in line with what God had told the children of Israel when they were going into battle. But today, I want us to, last week we looked at the topic of prayer, diligence, and faith. We've been looking at what makes prayer powerful. Why do we pray? So all the positive things about prayer we have looked at. But this week, I want us to just take a segue to look at what can we do to make prayer ineffective? Because what we read in the book of James is that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, it does what? Avails much. Avails much. That is the eventuality, or that should be the eventuality of every prayer. It has to avail to something. It has to yield something. It has to avail much. In line with the nature of our God, the spirit that God has put within us, the Bible tells us that whatever God says, it doesn't return to him what? Void. Void means empty, with nothing. So when God speaks a word, anything that God says, it avails something. Something comes out of it. In the same way, the effectual, fervent prayer of a child of God has to avail something, has to bring forth something. But there are then cases where, and there are situations where, as the children of God, prayer can become ineffective. It doesn't avail anything. It returns void. It returns empty. And we want to begin to take a look at situations so that we ourselves are aware, as children of God who pray, what to guard against so that our prayers do not become effective. Ineffective, thank you. That's English. So that our prayers do not become ineffective. That is very true. Thank you. So what do we do so that our prayers do not become ineffective? And first of all, the passage that we read where Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, he already gave some situations where prayers can be ineffective. Can anybody remind us of what we read there? And today I want us to take notes, because the next 2 weeks we'll be looking at all this together. And those who are coming late, please don't come late again. No. We're coming into God's house. So, Matthew 6, what did Lord Jesus Christ teach about ineffective prayer? When you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites. That's where I started. Do not pray like the hypocrites. Fumito, how do the hypocrites pray? Like Pharisees, how do they pray?
They pray
according to Matthew 6.
Can I just read it? Or I should say it from my head.
You are supposed to have read it because we have been doing this thing. You know, okay, so maybe somebody, if not, I help her.
Okay.
Except you two, you haven't read it yet.
Like praying in public and like.
Thank you. When the Pharisees or the hypocrites, when they pray, how do they pray? They go to the public places. What is their own goal of praying? To be seen by men. So that people can say, ah, Rankadede, that is a pious man. That is a righteous man. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that they already have their reward. They have already gotten their reward. That is, their reward is the praises of men, not the praise of God. Second category of prayers being ineffective. Jesus Christ says, don't pray like the pagans. Thank you. The pagans. How do the pagans pray? Repetitive words. Thinking that by the so much words and repetition, the Lord will hear them. So we already have two examples from the Lord of how not to pray. One, praying like hypocrites or hypocritical prayer. You know, if me as a pastor, I come and I want to use words just to bedazzle everybody, you know, those catchy phrases, Lord, today is our day, let this year be our year of victory and deliverance, and we would, you know, it's not flowing. It's because I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. That's why it's not flowing. You know, but you know what I'm talking about. Where I want to impress, it's not because I want to be genuine in my heart. It's not because I want to unburden my heart. It's because I want to impress. That is a hypocritical prayer. The Lord will not hear. If I use words over and over and over and over, when we read that thing about about how the pagans pray, we read the account of Elijah and the priest of Baal. What were they saying over and over again? Baal, hear us. Baal, hear us. Baal, hear us. We cannot pray like that. Jesus is a person. If I say, mommy, hear me. Mommy, hear me. Mommy, hear me. Mommy. It will be even. It will be tiresome. The person to whom I pray is a person. Our God is a person. We don't use repetitive words like pagans. If we do, God will not hear us. So those two we already know are ineffective prayers. The next one, we take it from the book of Psalms. Can somebody read Psalm 66, 18? Like I said, this is going to be, we're all going to do it as a congregation together. Not Psalm, Psalm. Did I say Psalm? Okay, sorry, not Psalm. Psalm. Thank you for that, Ken. Yes, 66:18. And you'll be my reader today.
If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
Okay, so the Lord will not hear me if I cherish sin in my heart. That is number three, ineffective prayer. Now, how Bible says cherish sin? What does it mean? In the King James says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And for prayer to be answered, God has to hear. Do you know that when Sister Shade comes from work and she's really tired and Dunsi and Muriah begin to bother her, what kind of air does she turn to them? Eh? A deaf? Is she deaf? What does it mean to turn a deaf ear?
To stop listening.
They'll just be talking. But does she hear what they're saying? It's because she deliberately doesn't want to hear. That is what it means. What it means when we say that God doesn't hear our prayer. You will put so much effort. You will do so much, but it doesn't go anywhere. Nobody hears. God doesn't hear. And for prayer to be answered, God has to hear. God has to answer. So it says here, if I regard iniquity, King James, what's your version?
I think it's NLT. It says cherish.
NLT. If I cherish what?
Sin in my heart.
In my heart. Can somebody read the message? You people who have many Bibles in your phone, please, this is where we need the phone to help us. The message. What does it say? Psalm 66, verse 18. Read it again, so, Grandma. Is that the message? The message version. Okay, okay. So, Grandma just read King James. Thank you. If I have been what? Posy with sin, with evil. Do we begin to get the meaning? What does it mean to be cozy with something? Snuggle. You know, when you guys want to watch a movie, you put the blanket around yourself, you snuggle, and you want to get what? Comfortable. You want to, sit down and get comfortable, put some popcorn. That is what it means. If I've been cozy with evil, if I'm comfortable with sin, I know there's sin in my heart. Not that I don't know. You see, this one is not peradventure. I know. God is telling me that there's sin in my heart, and yet I want to pray. God will not hear me. Another person, please open NIRV. NIRV. Because I want us to know what this thing means. Where God will turn a deaf ear to our prayers. If I enjoy
having sin in my heart.
Having sin. So, are we getting it more? I'm cozy with it. I enjoy it. If I enjoy having sin in my heart.
The Lord would not have
the
listened.
Lord, he will not what?
Have listened.
He will not listen to me. Somebody else open Amplified. Please, mommy, every language we can, so we can get understanding of this thing.
Bien mi ba gba ese ni aya mi, Oluwa ki yo gbohun mi.
Tin ba gba ese ni aya mi. What does that mean? If I accept sin in my chest, in my heart, that is in my bosom, I'm comfortable with it, I'm cozy with it, I enjoy it. Amplified, God will not hear me. Yes, please, Amplified.
If I regard sin and baseness in my heart, I know it is there and do nothing about it. The Lord will not hear me.
Do you have AMPC?
AMPC?
Yes. Is that AMPC?
Yes.
If I regard iniquity
in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
All right. NLT now. Yes.
If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
If I had not confessed the sin in my heart. Now, is the Bible saying that if I have sinned, the Lord will not hear me?
No.
No, thank you. It's not because we have sinned that God will not hear us. But it is when we sin and we do not confess it before God. We don't come before God to say, Lord, I have sinned. What you are showing me in my heart, you are right. Please forgive me. I confess it as a sin before you. Father, cleanse my heart. I will turn away from it. That is what it means. If you don't do that, then God will not hear you. So it's not because you've sinned that God doesn't hear you. It's because you are now comfortable with the sin that God is showing you. You know it. God has revealed it to you. You know it within your heart, and you are comfortable with it. You are cozy with it. When you bring this disposition into the place of prayer, God will not hear you. Remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, when you pray, go into your closets. Do what after? Shut the door. And then pray to your Father who sees in secret. And he will answer you. He will reward you. Go into your closets. The closet is whose closets? It's your closets. You go into your closets. It becomes a holy place when God's presence comes into your closets. But it cannot be a holy place if there is sin unconfessed in your heart. Then God will not hear you. You will speak words. You will pray prayer, but it will go nowhere. So these are the kind of things that make prayer ineffective. Okay? Last week, we dealt with the issue of faith, diligence, and prayer. And we saw how intertwined faith and diligence is. And one of the reasons why a lot of us struggle with prayer is that the fidelity to daily coming before the presence of God is a thing of discipline that many, very often, we lack. I've used big grammar. Please, can you let me break it down? Not in Spanish, just in English.
I think what you're trying to say is what we're missing, right, is you mentioned discipline, the commitment, making the commitment.
Making that commitment to daily coming before the presence of God. There is an agonizing in the place of prayer. But what I have learned is that the fidelity to daily coming, that discipline, is even sometimes more than the agony in prayer. And you cannot really deal with God on an occasional basis. You know that psalm that says in 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is for us to abide with God, there's an abiding. There's an abiding. Elijah, when he went before Ahab, the first thing he said was that, as I stand before God, you cannot stand before God until you abide with God. And you cannot abide with God on an occasional, casual basis. So that discipline that makes you make it a priority, because let me tell you something, and none of us can argue with this. No matter how busy, there's somebody who told me something. If you're looking for somebody to do something, don't look for somebody who has nothing to do. Always look for somebody who has something to do. Because the people who have something to do, if they really want to do it, they will make time for it. If you really want something, you will make time for it. When iPhones come out, do you know how people come to be the first to buy an iPhone? What do?
They line up overnight.
They line up overnight. They do night vigil. For what? iPhone. They do night vigil. Some people, it's even more than overnight when Black Friday deals come. Some people go there a few days before.
Set up a tent.
They said, thank you. Remember, they said, have you done it before?
No.
They set up a tent. Because of what? A TV. Or a cooker. And what we are talking about, we are trying to lay a hold on life. Remember what we talked about we're not supposed to be the ones praying because of what is happening on the news. We are supposed to make the news. And prayer is the, nothing more powerful that God has given us than prayer. For you to change situations, for you to change individuals, for you to change situations in your lives and others' lives, for you to change what is happening in the country, prayer is the only tool we have. It is not placard. It is not demonstration. Prayer is the tool that God has given his children. And for you to be powerful in that, it can't be casual. It can't be casual. So, one other thing that makes prayer ineffective is faithlessness. In Hebrews 11:6, it says that the person who will come to God must believe that God what is. You must have faith that God exists to start with. And then you must have faith that God rewards those who do what? Thank you. What does that word mean? Tommy, please help me.
It means consistency.
Consistency. What else?
Dedication.
Dedication. Please, somebody else use another word? Seriousness. I like that word. Seriousness. Consistency. Dedication. Diligence. If you are like that before God, what he's saying is that God sees you and he will reward you. But you must believe that God will reward you. So, ineffectiveness in prayer, faithlessness leads to ineffective prayer. A lack of diligence or seriousness, unseriousness, a lack of diligence brings about ineffective prayers. Can somebody else open to James 1? Verses 6 to 8, please, and help us there. James 1, 6 to 8. Okay, are you there? Okay. Please, somebody help me read.
But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave.
Sorry, start from 5 so we get the gist.
If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind.
7.
That man should not think he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
So let us break that down step by step. So if any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? What is that asking the Lord called? Pray. That is just one aspect. If you lack wisdom, pray. Ask God. And when you ask God, what's next? Don't doubt. Don't be faithless. Don't come with the mind that, well, maybe God will answer. Because there are specific things that the Bible has said that if you lack it, ask and don't doubt. Well, I cannot say if you lack a bicycle, because the Bible didn't tell me that. But definitely, I know about wisdom. When you come, don't, if you want it, ask. Another thing, another person I know that the Bible says you should ask and don't doubt is the Holy Spirit. So there are specific things that you already know through the Word of God that it is the will of God for you. But when you come, do not doubt. Then what? But when you ask, you must believe, don't doubt. Because the person who doubts is like what? A wave of the sea. Blown and what? Tossed by the wind. Many of us, you know, we are not by the beach. If it was in where we lived in Nigeria, we were able to drive a few minutes to a place called Bar Beach to see what the wave is like. But Ocean City from here is like 3 hours away. So it's been long since many of us saw the ocean, right? But how is, what happens in the ocean? The waves come, they bring the water in and go. But that is waves that are gentle. Have you ever seen waves that are rough? Have you ever seen waves that are rough? A boat on rough waves, what happens to that boat? Sorry? It's where the waves go that the boat goes. But when the waves are gentle, the boat dictates where it wants to go. But when you see real waves, it's where the waves take you that you go. You won't say, no, I'm not going there. You'll follow suit. That is what a double-minded man is. This mind goes here today. You just follow, I will go there. Another mind says, oh, well, maybe I should have taken Buttonsville Street and I go Buttonsville Street. Another mind comes, oh, no, I should not take Buttonsville Street. But Buttonsville Street leads me there. No, let me take Carter Street. And I now start going here and there. I cannot make up my mind on what to do. Today, I say I'm going to the doctor. As I leave the house, oh, I haven't bought groceries, but I'll be late to the doctor. Okay, let me just stop by and buy groceries. I'm at the groceries, the doctor calls. Oh, no. Okay, I'll be there. I leave groceries. I'm on the way. Eventually, you'll achieve what? Nothing. That is what a double-minded... So the Bible now says that a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. Let that man not think that he will receive anything of them. Ineffective prayer is from double-mindedness. Faithlessness. Lack of seriousness. How many points have we put up now? 5 points. Thank you. Please write, because next week we're going to do an exam. Okay. There'll be a pop quiz next week. All right. Point number 6 of ineffective prayer is from willful disobedience. Willful disobedience. Sometimes the Bible calls it rebellion. Today we read about the sin of Achan, right? They were going to go to Ai. God told them, everything you are going to see there. Normally, if anyone goes to war, your plunder of war becomes yours, right? That is what it was like back then. But God told them, as you guys are going, everything there in the NIV, it says everything there, it is what? Dedicated to destruction. In my own KJV, it says it is accursed. So God told them, all the plunder, do not take anything. But there was this man called Achan in the camp of Israel. When he went, he saw things that were mesmerizing to him. He saw a Babylonish garment. You know what they call a Babylonish garment? What is a Babylonish garment? You don't know? Do you know what a Babylonish?
It says that it's a beautiful robe.
Beautiful robe. Read KJV.
when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment.
A goodly, beautiful Babylonish garment. Is a when they say Babylonish, what does it mean? It's from Babylon. And what does Babylon symbolize? Symbolize worldly wealth.
Yeah.
Because at that time, Babylon was one of the most beautiful places. It's like saying, what garments can we say today?
Egyptian.
Well, Egypt is not very, yeah, Egyptian cotton. I think that's, you know. Like, look at Brother Kunle's, what he's wearing. It's not Babylonian show. Yeah, that one is Badokoti. But it says it was worth about how much?
It says...
In James.
And 200 shekels of gold. And a welge and a welge of gold.
Okay. So it was a Babylonish garment, which was beautiful. The lust of the
eyes.
Took 200 shekels of silver. And a
wedge
of gold of 50 shekels weight. So there's shekels, silver, shekels, weight of gold. So he took gold, he took silver, and he took garments. But what was God's instructions to them?
To destroy everything.
Destroy everything. Don't take anything. Why did God say don't take anything? Because everything there was
accursed.
Accursed. It was destined for destruction. And because there was a willful disobedience to the command of God, when they went into the battle, God caused Israel to be defeated in battle. And Joshua came back crying to God, God, why did you do this to us? You are the one who told us to go in the first place. So why would you tell us to go and we come back a defeated people? That was when God now told them that there is sin in Israel. Tommy, please read Proverbs 15:27.
Proverbs 15:27. The greedy bring ruin to their households.
The greedy bring
ruin.
Ruin to what?
Their households.
To themselves.
To their households.
To only their person.
Their households.
Their households. The greedy, they bring ruin to their households. Eventually, because of the sin of Achan, was it only Achan that was now destroyed?
No.
Israel suffered defeats. Achan was destroyed. His wife was destroyed. His children were destroyed. They were stoned to death. They were burned up in fire because of willful disobedience to the word of God. Sometimes when people say that, hey, sin is only me. It's only me that it affects. It doesn't affect anybody else. We don't joke with sin, no. Because the sin of a pastor can affect the whole church. The sin of a member of a church can affect the whole church. That is why we do not joke with sin. The sin of Adam and Eve, who is it affecting?
All of humanity.
All of humanity. Till when?
Till now.
Till today. Till Jesus comes. So we do not take sin lightly to think that, oh, it is only me that is going to affect. It's not going to affect somebody else. What we do as a congregation, anybody, because the Bible tells us that we are one body. Everybody has a function. You told me you can be an arm. Sister Shade can be a foot. I can be a head. Brother Kunle can be a backbone. Everybody has a function. So we are all joined together as one. If your hand has a disease, can your body say, well, hand is only you. Me, I don't have disease. Maybe Tommy can, your hand can tell you, right? It's only you. Or when Brother Kunle comes, my back is aching me. Then the head will say, well, Brother Kunle, I'm going out too. your back can be aching you and stay home. Yes?
I think I know another good example of this with the husband and wife. I think Ananias and Sapphira.
Thank you.
They concealed.
Ananias and Sapphira.
Yes.
Was it only Ananias that was destroyed?
No.
Both of them are destroyed. That is what, let me tell you another one. Tithe and offering. There are things that God instituted and they're in the Old Testament. And there are things that God held dearly because they were sacraments unto God, not unto man. And in the Old Testament, there was a priest whose children were treating the offerings of the people. Eli. Very good. And what were the Eli's sons' names?
Hophni and Phinehas.
Exactly. Hophni and Phinehas. They will take a fork and put it into, when people were boiling their sacrifices, they will take it and say, this one is for us. Do you know that is what some pastors are doing today? That the offering which is meant to be a sacrifice of a beautiful offering unto God, it now becomes odious before the people. They began to speak evil of the tithe. They began to speak evil of the offering that was meant for God. And because of that, they didn't stop there. Women who came to worship, they were sleeping with them at the gates of the temple. They desecrated the worship of the Lord. You know what God did to them eventually? God killed them. God killed them. Do you know what the Bible said of Eli?
When he heard of the news, did he like fall and break his back?
Do you know the stature of Eli? He was a fat man. Go and read about it. May what the Bible knows of me not be that I was a fat man. May what the Bible knows of us not be that we were carnal because of all the meat that his children had been eating and him himself had been partaking of. He was a big man. And he fell back and broke his neck. In battle, his children, two children died on the same day. So these things that when God holds something dear, we better not joke with it. We better not hold what God has called as this is my own thing, is a sacrament unto me, and treat it as common. Let me give you another example. In the book of the Acts of Apostles. Was it Acts of Apostles? Yes. Some people were coming to the communion. You know we have communion here. But what do we serve for communion that Grandma Ned does since how many years now? Faithfully. Fruit juice and bread. But culturally back then, it wasn't fruit juice. It was wine. It was real wine. And so when some people came to communion, and it was supposed to be a feast, yes, they will take the wine, they will drink so much that before communion, before everybody else comes, they'll be drunk. They will be drunk. Some people, before everybody comes, they've gorged themselves, they will have eaten, not waiting for anybody, not caring about anybody. Is a sacrament that what the Lord Jesus Christ himself that do this as often as you do it what? In remembrance of me. It was for Christ. That is why we celebrate that sacrament. And people had made that sacrament a common thing, a carnal thing. what we just eat and get drunk on. And Paul, was it Paul who said it? Yes. No, it wasn't Paul who said it. I think it was in 1 Corinthians. It was in 1 Corinthians, so it will have been Paul who wrote it. And he said that, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? He said, because of these things, you guys not designing the body of the Lord, some of you are what? Are asleep, you are dead. Some people are sick, dead, because they have treated the things of God as carnal. The things that God has given instruction on how to do it, they had willfully disobeyed God. If the Bible tells you to do something, and this pastor says to do something else, please obey what the Bible says. My prayer is that we will all get there together. Me myself, I will not miss the road. You know, but as I'm praying for all of you, I'm praying for myself also, because I see what is going on out there, and sometimes it scares me. Because people are no longer fearful of God. They're no longer in awe, in fear of God. So, willful disobedience, and we'll stop there today by the grace of God. We'll continue next week. So, we'll stop here today. So, brethren, prayer is supposed to have an effect. Prayer is supposed to yield something. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much. Prayer is supposed to avail something. It's supposed to bring about something. But prayer can become ineffective because of certain things in our lives. In Joshua, when Moses died, and God was giving Joshua instructions, in Joshua 1:8, God says that, Joshua, be careful. Be careful that all these things I have given you as instruction, be careful to do them. He didn't just say do them. He said, be careful. When God gives us instruction, we don't gloss over. When God gave an instruction of how the Ark of the Covenant was to be carried, he gave specific instructions. Nobody was supposed to come near the ark. Only the priest, and even the priest carrying it, they carried it on poles on their shoulders. And you remember when the ark was carried on a cart, and the cart was going to topple, and somebody touched it, what happened to that person? There's a be careful. We have to be careful. And don't think that the instructions of God are not suggestions, brothers and sisters. What did I say? The instructions of God are not suggestions. We have to be careful. When God says something, he means it. He means it. So that our God will not turn a deaf ear to our prayers. These are things we have to be careful about. The manner in which we pray. The manner in which we obey. All have to be careful about it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, once again, we give thanks because your word is truly our bread. It's what gives us life. It's what gives us joy. Your word gives us instructions, and we know that your own instructions, they are not a killjoy type of instruction. Lord, your instructions are to give us life and abundance, to give us liberty. And there are many who don't want the restraint of your word, and eventually they find themselves bound by the world, bound by sin, which brings a torment. And so, Father, thank you for your word. It's really, as David said, it's like honey unto our mouths and the honeycomb to our taste. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the instructions that you have given us. We embrace it. We thank you for it. And we pray for grace to be able to live according to what you have instructed us on. Father, may our prayers not be ineffective. Everything we bring before you, by your will, let it amount to something, O Lord. Give us open heavens, Father, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand to say the grace together in fellowship.